Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 27. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil.
So if I were to ask you to tell me about your life, that would probably, there'd be several items that you would share with me. You would probably tell me about your job. You might tell me about your school, if you go to school, or where you went to school. You might tell me about your family. You might tell me about some hobbies that you have or some interests that you have. There are a lot of different aspects of our life. There's a lot of different things that we do. And one of the typical ways people approach life, sometimes without even thinking about it, is we tend to segment our life into different portions. That each one of those aspects, each one of those segments of our life become different for us. And so we have our work life, we have our family life, we have our church life, we have our spiritual life with God, which is not always the same thing as church life. We have our hobbies and our interest. We have that portion of our life that we don't tell anyone about because we're not very proud of it and we know it shouldn't be there, but it's there, and so we just don't talk about it, but it's there. And we have all these different segments, and sometimes we live into those in very different ways. In other words, sometimes we act very differently at work than we do at home with our family. Sometimes we're one person at work and another person at home, or we're a different person, different personality. We act very differently when we're participating in our hobbies as we do, say, at church. And some of this is natural. I mean, we're not going to act the same way at a hockey game as we would at a poetry reading. Well, we act a little differently in different places, but sometimes it's more than that. Sometimes we segment our life so radically that if I ask you about your life, you might not be able to answer that question. You could tell me the things you do, but who are you really? What kind of person are you? Who is the essence of who you are? That's a much deeper question than just the different things you do or how you act at certain parts of your life. And we even do this within our religious life. I had a conversation one time many years ago in a church when we had some administrative decisions to make. Someone in the church leadership was saying, you know, we really need to pray about this. We need to pray about this and see how God would direct us in our church. And someone else said, no, I don't know that's going to help. There's difference between religious decisions and business decisions in church. No, there's not. They're the same thing because we are a spiritual people. But we segment these into different ideas as if the business, even of church, is separate from God. We're very good at this sometimes, where perhaps our family wouldn't even recognize us at work. That sometimes people get so caught up in one portion of their life and then get caught up in a separate portion of life, and those things don't really cross. The problem with this, while it's functional at times, is we never really know who we are as a person. We begin to feel like there's a lack of authenticity, a lack of genuineness, that if someone says, who are you, we have no idea. It depends on where we are at the time. Now, sometimes to solve that problem, if we start to feel like that we are not being very authentic, that we're just playing a role, that I have my work role, and I'm like an actor at work. I just play that role. I do what's expected. And then at home, I do what's expected there. And it all begins to feel like I'm just acting, that I don't know who I am anymore. And to solve this problem, sometimes people will decide which one of those segments of life they are most comfortable with, and that will be their life. Well, that may sound like a solution, but that creates problems as well. For instance, if someone chooses their work life, their work personality, and they decide, this is who I am, they won't necessarily consciously say that, but it just becomes their whole life. You know, if you're constantly working, if all you are is your job, you're probably not very good with your family. Even though family is very important, sometimes we get so caught up in that that we miss other things in life. I knew someone once, and she was so obsessed with being a mother that she almost never started a sentence without saying, as a parent. I'm not making this up. Almost every sentence began with, as a parent. And sometimes she would begin and end every sentence with, as a parent. And so you could never have a conversation with her without going down that road. So you could say, you know, it's a little cloudy this morning. I wonder if it's going to rain. Well, as a parent, I must always think about that to make sure my children are properly protected from the weather. As a parent. Every conversation was like that. And it really caused problems with her at her job because she could never focus on her work. Everything was about her kids. She was constantly calling to check on her kids. She was constantly checking on things and doing things for her kids and getting on the internet to order things for her family. And she was not very good at her job. Sometimes we just pick one area that we like, and that just becomes us. It consumes us. There's a lot of people that have gotten consumed with their jobs to the point that their spouse would say, I don't know who you are. You're just a doctor or a lawyer, a businessman, a preacher, a teacher. That's who you, I don't know you. You're not in relationship with me. You're only married to your job. All these areas of life become very important, but it's very difficult to balance all of these things. If we just pick one that overwhelms everything else, it causes problems. If we try to segment it into different portions of life and we put equal energy into each one, I'm not sure we ever get to equal. Sometimes one is more demanding than the other. And if we are able to try to do all these different things of work and family and hobbies and church and religious life, spiritual life, and those little secrets we don't like to talk about, if we do all of these things, who are we really? We just play roles in each one. So now we have a dilemma. If we segment everything out, we're just playing roles in each one. We don't know who we are. If we just pick one and that becomes our dominant personality, that's who we are all the time, then I'm not so sure that works in all the other parts of life. Luckily, the Bible shares with us some important things about this. God created us. That's a really important thing to understand. God created us on purpose. It was not just some random act. God created us on purpose. And I'm not talking about just Adam and Eve. God created each one of us on purpose. You are here in this lifetime, at this point in history, at this point of the world, on purpose. You were born to the family you were born to, and raised by the people you were raised by, and that's not necessarily the same people, on purpose. Now, we might look at that and say, well, thanks a lot, God. We might not like the family who raised us. We may wonder why God put us in the family we were placed in. I hope that's not the case for you, but for some people it is. We may wonder, why did I have to be born in the area of the world I was born? There are people who wonder that. There are people that are oppressed by the governments. There are people that are living terrible lives because of where they were born in the world, and they wonder why. There's no good answer to that. But we do know that God created each one of us, and God created us in his own image. We are created in the image of God. Now, it's also important to understand God doesn't have a physical body. Okay, when we say image of God, that doesn't mean that God has 10 fingers and 10 toes and 2 eyeballs. That's not the image we're talking about. We're talking about spirit. That God, as a spiritual being, created each one of us on purpose in God's own image. That we are a creation of God on purpose. And that God loves that person, each one of us. And God likes us, each one of us. That's harder to accept sometimes. Sometimes we wonder if God likes us. God does not like everything we do. That little key secret part of our life I keep talking about, God doesn't like that part. But it doesn't mean he doesn't like us. God likes each one of us. He adores us. And you know what God wants us to be? Exactly who he created us to be. He wants us to learn exactly the person he created us to be. The person he imagined us to be when he created us. And God has a really good imagination. When God created each one of us, he had a certain image in mind. A certain person in mind. Now, we all know we've gotten corrupted, that we are not that perfect image, that there is a lot of corruption in this world, and that we don't always reflect what God created. That perfect image of God that is created in us is not always what we reflect. But God still sees that. And God wants to create that person, to lead us into a place that we become the person God created us to be. The theological word for that is sanctification. That we are on this journey to become exactly what God created us to be. Exactly what God imagined us to be when we were created. And the image of God, the image that God sees in us, is what we are called to be in this world. We were never called to just play a role as a job. We were never called to just be what we studied in school or our hobbies or even our families, as important as family is. We are called to be the creation that God made us to be. And that's why, as in Proverbs we read today, when the word of wisdom comes into our life, and that is the word of God, that is God's spirit, okay? When we hear that word of wisdom, learn that word of wisdom in our life, the Bible tells us in Proverbs, don't turn from that. Don't be pulled away from that. Let that be your path. That spiritual life, that life of spirit that God puts within us, he says, don't turn away from that. Let that guide every bit of your path. That is your life. That wisdom of God within you, that spirit of God that leads to an understanding. And he emphasizes over and over in the scripture we read today, get that understanding. Get that wisdom. Hold on to that. Get that. Strive for that. Put it as first priority in your life. And when you have the word of wisdom in your life, that spiritual nature of God, let that be your path. And so we are God's very precious creation in our job. We are God's precious creation at home with our family. We are his precious creation in our hobbies, in our schools, in our work life, in our daily life, in every area. Even in a weird way, in those areas of struggle in our life. Sometimes we think I have to push God away because I've got some problems. I've got some struggles. I'm making a lot of mistakes. I've got some bad things going on in my life I'm not proud of. And so I have to keep God at a distance because I'm ashamed of some of the things in my life. That's maybe a natural reaction. It's not a very good one. God wants to be there as well. He wants to journey with you through that. A rather odd way of thinking about this. I saw once in a book I was reading, the author said, so should we smoke while we're praying? No, but we should pray while we're smoking. Think about that one. If you've got something in your life, don't pull God away because of that. If you've got something in your life that is a struggle, God still wants to be there because God created you. God loves you. God likes you despite that stuff in your life and knows exactly how to lead you through it. So what we have then, if God loves you and he loves your family, then he wants to be there in your family. He does not want to be separated from your family life. Okay, now maybe your family is in a desperate situation. Maybe your family is abusive to you. Maybe your family is horribly dysfunctional. Hope that's not the case. Can be. It is often. God still wants to be there with you to journey through that. He wants to journey through that very dysfunctional relationship with you. Hopefully it's not dysfunctional. Hopefully it's a very loving relationship. God wants to be in that with you. God wants to be in your job with you on Mondays. He doesn't want you to leave him here on Sunday. He wants to be with you in your job on Mondays because he gave you, created you specifically with the talent to do what you're doing. Whatever it is you do, God created you to do that. And God wants to be with you in that job. He wants to be with you in those hobbies. He doesn't want you to push him away so you can have free time away from God. He wants to be with you. He wants to permeate everything in your life because we are a spiritual being created in the image of God. So if I ask you about your life, you could tell me about your job, about your family, about your hobbies. You could tell me about what school you go to or what schools you went to. You could tell me the things that you enjoy in life and what your interests are. But those are things that we do. Who we are on a deeper level is a creation of God. And as the wisdom of God comes into our life, we know how to do our jobs better, whatever we are called to do in life. Whatever path God has sent us down for our job, we may think, well, my job has nothing to do with God. Yes, it does. Because God created this world. God is in this world. And even in the sin of this world, God wants to lead us through it. You were called to do the job you're doing right now. Maybe he'll call you to do something later. I don't know. But whatever you're doing on Monday, God wants to be there with you. God wants to be in your family. He wants to be in your job. He wants to be with you in every part of life. Who are we? We are a creation of God. It's not just what we do in life that creates life. It's who we are. God is our creator. And we focus first and foremost on his wisdom. And everything else in our life then circles around that. It becomes a lot more seamless, that I can go from work to home to hobbies to even the struggles of life, and there is an authenticity in that because through it all, we are a spiritual being created and adored by our Creator, by God himself. His Spirit is with us. So I hope we can live that. I hope we can understand that in every part of our life, God is there with us. Sometimes we get distracted from that. We make God just a segment of our life. Sometimes we want to just do enough religion to make sure we go to heaven when we die, that we're okay now. We just want to make sure that we're in good with God so we can go to heaven. And we push God out of our life in so many times. How many times do we go through a day or a week or a month or even longer, and somebody like me stands up on Sunday morning and says, how often do you pray? And we think, I don't know. I pray sometimes, especially when I'm in trouble. We push God out of our life. We get into our routine and we'll say things like, well, I go to church on Sunday. Good. What about Monday? But this is about being the creation of God. Now, when I say that, sometimes people kind of resist that a little bit because we know how bad we are. It's like, okay, yeah. In some abstract notion, I'm a creation of God, but in my real life, no, you're a creation of God in your real life. Think about it like this. This is an illustration I've shared many times over the years. Think about a ball, maybe a baseball. Not a lot of baseball played in Prague, but you know what a baseball is. Think about a baseball. And let's imagine I hold in my hand a diamond that is the size of a baseball. A perfectly cut, perfectly pure, clear diamond the size of a baseball that I hold in my hand. Now, how much would that be worth? It's priceless. If there was a clear, perfectly cut diamond the size of a baseball in my hand, it would be priceless. Now, let's imagine that I go out into the fields outside of Prague, and I go to the cow pasture, and I roll this diamond in all the mud and the muck and the mire and the cow manure, and I bring it back in. How much is it worth then? Still priceless. The price has not changed. And even though it's completely nasty at this point, anybody on earth would still want it if you knew what it was. But if you just looked at it from the outside, you wouldn't even want to go near it. You would reject it. You have to know what it is to appreciate how valuable it is. What we tend to do is look at ourselves, we look at each other, we look at our lives, and all we see is the stuff of the world, the muck and the mire and the mud and the cow manure that's all over our life because of the sin of the world, because of the fallen world. And we think, I just need to get through my job. I just need to somehow get through this family life that's driving me crazy sometimes. I just got to get through. I just got to find some ways to relax. I got to get some hobbies. I got to do something to get through, because we just see in one another, we see in ourselves all the stuff of this world. God still sees the diamond. God knows exactly how to polish that thing up again. God knows how to wash all of that clean. God still sees the diamond that He created. We are a creation of God. And the way we become that is exactly what we are taught in Proverbs, that we focus on that wisdom, that Spirit of God, that we don't turn from that. And we let that wisdom of God permeate every area of our life, because we are not just our jobs, we are not just our hobbies, we are not just our accomplishments, we are not just our money or lack thereof, we are not just the stuff we do in this life, we're not even just our families. We are a creation of God. And no matter how bad that looks right now, because of the stuff and of the world that's on us, God can clean that up. He still sees that perfect diamond He created in His own image. That's what we live into in every area of our life. Because God cares about all that stuff that's in our life, no matter how messed up it is. And He knows how to wash us clean from all of that and teach us to be exactly the person He imagined us to be when He created us. The beautiful creation of God. That exquisite creation of God that He made. And so when we pray, He hears us like that. We are His beloved creation. We were never meant just to segment our life into a bunch of stuff. We were meant to be a spiritual person that does things in this world as the beautiful creation of God. May we come to God in that spirit as we pray. God, thank You for who we are. We're not always grateful for everything we do in this world. Sometimes we wish things could be different in our jobs, our families, our churches, our homes, our communities. Sometimes we wish that we could be different and not make so many mistakes and have so many struggles. But God, through all of that, thank You for who we are, who You've created us to be, even if we don't know who that is yet. Thank You for Your word in Proverbs that tells us to stay on that path, to hear Your wisdom, the wisdom of Your word, and to follow that above all other things. Let that permeate our life so that we can know exactly who You have created us to be. The beautiful and exquisite creation that You have made. Forgive us, Lord, that sometimes we have been other things. Forgive us that the world has corrupted us in so many ways. Let us find that path of wisdom that leads to the life You have led for us, that You have planned for us. Let us be that as we lift our prayers to you, our God.